Thank you for tuning in today. Our desire is to encourage and to inform. We ask you to please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We'd like to talk about truth. Truth, if you look it up on the thesaurus, has to do with honesty, uprightness, fact, and integrity. Many are questioning what is happening in today's society. Can we believe everything the media is telling us? And boy, what about all the things that we see on the internet? Question. When you go to the grocery store and you're shopping, do you don a mask now? Do you wear gloves? Do you try to keep your distance? The truth is that people are concerned about the coronavirus. Last week, we didn't know anybody who had it, let alone someone who knew someone who had it. Yet this week, it seems we all know of someone who has it. Our church sign says simply this: pray and use lots of soap. We finished Wednesday's lesson with the verse that will begin today's from Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are according to his purpose. We're going to pray at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for today's opportunity to look into your word. We ask you, Lord, now to bless the thoughts we're about to have. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 does not say that everything is good, but that all things can work for good to them that love God. Point number one is peace. If you would, just turn back a couple of pages to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 1, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace? Are we so concerned about things today that we become nervous, that we have begun to even doubt our faith? May I say this? This is not the first time that there has been some virus or some illness that has been circulating through our country and even around the world. But we can still have peace that our Lord is with us, that he will guide and protect us during this time. And point number two would be faith. What is faith? Faith is trust in or dependence on someone or something. We find this thought in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we can have faith. We can have peace. You know, we have faith in many things. Let me say this. You have faith that Miracle Whip is not polluted with horseradish. And we have faith that when you go to a gas station, and I went this morning to Costco, $1.09. I'd say, when was the last time gas was $1.09? But you have faith that when you pump it, that fluid into your car, that it really is gas. We have faith in so many things. Don't stop having faith in your Lord at this time because things may be hard. Point number three is tribulation. Let's read again from the book of Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Many say we are going through a very difficult time, and even we call it tribulation. While others say that the quarantine time is kind of nice. They kind of like the opportunity for quality family time or getting projects done around the house or maybe other things that they're able to do that they haven't been able to do in quite a while. But tribulation worketh patience. Because I tell you what, in our world today, where so many things are so inconvenient, and it's almost like they're trying to make things inconvenient, it makes you have patience. We have peace, we have faith, we have tribulation. How about love? Do you have love in your heart? How about the love of God? Do you know the love of God? Let's read verses 4 and 5. And patience worketh experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God. What a great and marvelous thing. May I say this, that we don't know what love is yet. But when we stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we will know what love truly is. We will share it and we'll understand it and we'll be amazed by it. Be assured that our Heavenly Father loves us. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love. Verses 6 through 8, and let's read them at this time. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I believe that verse 8 is probably one of the most important verses in all the Bible. And let me read it for you once again. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is much controversy as to how long we'll be in this situation where we are asked to stay away from groups of 10 or more. And as we think about April coming later this week, and with that we think of Good Friday, and we think of Resurrection Sunday, and we think of the love of Christ and how he came to die for you and me, the fact that maybe we won't even be able to meet in our churches for Good Friday services or for the Resurrection Sunday service. But be assured of this, that God the Son showed his love by dying on the cross and shedding his precious blood to redeem us from the slave market of sin. Our Lord's last command was to take the message of salvation to the entire world. Verse 6 says, Christ died for the ungodly. You say, well, who are the ungodly? Well, according to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all of mankind is ungodly in the eyes of a holy God. Oh, in our own sight, compared with each other, oh, we might be good people. But when we compare ourselves to a holy God, we are sinners. And there is a gap that has been formed between us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that can fill the gap. Which reads just the point number 5 of justified. Justified. I'll read to you verses 8 and 9 here from Romans chapter 5. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified. The root meaning is made right or made righteous, and seems to imply a conforming with the law rather than the modern sense of being impartial. But the fact of the matter is, we have been made right. The sin that marred us, the sin that separated us from Jesus Christ, has been removed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Webster's dictionary defines to justify, thus, to absolve or to judge, regard or treat as righteous and worthy of salvation. Justify. Have you come to that point in your life where you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you realized that you were indeed lost and separated from Christ by your sins and you needed a Savior? Have you been justified? Point number six, salvation. We hear of being saved, being born again. Do you know what it means to be saved? Let me read to you again verses 8 and 9. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You know, the Bible is full of history. The Bible has prophecy. But the Bible is full of alerts. The fact that we need to be assured that if we know Christ as our Savior, we can go to heaven. But if we do not know Christ as our Savior, we will suffer the wrath of God. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I was at a auction in Ypsilanti a couple of years ago, and there were about 100 of us at the auction, and all of a sudden, about two-thirds of our phones went off on an alarm, and two or three people immediately said, "Oh, it must be an Amber Alert." Then a couple of minutes later, half of those that hadn't gone off originally, they sounded. And one of the man that was doing the auction made a comment about, "Oh, those aren't the ones who have Verizon." And then a couple minutes later, the rest of their phones went off on alarm. And all of them were the fact that there was an Amber Alert. You know, sometimes it would be nice if we had alarms that went off when we were nearing danger. That there was something that would say, "No, don't do that, don't do that." Sometimes we realize that without the love of God, that we're doomed to eternal hell. There needs that be alarm that goes off saying, you need to get your heart right with the Lord. If you look up the word salvation in the thesaurus, you'll find it means deliverance. It means pardon, reprieve, rescue, redemption, regeneration, forgiveness. Salvation. It's a very important word, and it's something that you need to make sure that you have in your life, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That saying, turn to your in your Bible to the book of Titus, just three short chapters, but Titus chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse 4. Titus chapter 3, and beginning at verse 4. And Paul writing says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I was talking to Brother Dan earlier this week, and he says, if you hear your phone go off, that means I'm saying amen. And that would be a time to say amen, because those are great thoughts that after the kindness and love of our Lord and Savior, it has appeared to all men. Number seven, reconciliation. Reconciliation. Back, if you would, to Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 9 and 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Unfortunately, some have been taught that if I live a good enough life, God has to let me into heaven. Well, the fact of the matter is, he doesn't have to let you into heaven. That your good works will not get you into heaven. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we can be guaranteed heaven. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Reconciled. To have a debt paid. It has been said that Jesus Christ paid a debt he did not owe. Because we had a debt we could not pay. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We work for our wages, but we cannot work for a gift. What we have worked for is death, but the gift of God. Now that's precious. That is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, either your death or the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died that you could be saved. Have you accepted that gift? Have you taken it? Which brings us to point number 8, which I don't normally have 8 points, but today I do. The gospel message. The gospel message is the good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so sinners can stand forgiven and justified before the righteous and holy judge of the universe. So that when we stand before the judge, he can see that we have been covered by the blood. And that Jesus, as our daysman, will say he has been saved. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are so very important, and our enemy desires that we do not read the Scriptures, that we don't understand the Scriptures, and that we don't believe the Scriptures. But it's in the Scriptures that we can find salvation. Which brings us to our conclusion. I have found that most people like that word, conclusion. That means that the one speaking is about to end. And I have some very quick thoughts as part of my conclusion. Question, what is the worst thing that can happen to an individual? What is the worst thing that can happen to you? Well, the answer is that you would die in your sins and spend eternity in hellfire. That is, well, someone just said amen to me. But anyways, what is the worst thing that can happen is you can die in your sins and spend eternity in hellfire. What then is the best thing that can happen to you? What is the best thing that can happen to an individual? The answer is that they will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and that they will spend eternity with God. To die and go to hell means separation from all things, from God, from the light. And we ask that you will understand that the greatest thing is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can you walk with the Lord freely today? Is he your companion? During this time, separated from so many things, my wife and I have been walking her dogs quite a bit. And it's amazing how many people are out walking? And how many couples are walking? Well, we need to be able to walk with our Lord. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, then I will give you rest." During this time of uncertainty, it's good to know there is a place of rest. During this time in which we wonder about the future, it's good to know there is a place of rest. And Jesus says, "Come unto me." Shall we close in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for all that you give us and all the blessings that you share with us. We ask, Lord, if there is someone that is listening today that doesn't know thee as Savior, that this would be the day in which they would accept thee to become their Lord and Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.